Clyde.
Free Talk Live. We are launching into hour number two of the program, and you can take control of the airwaves via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features are totally free, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. We'll get back to your calls here in just a moment. But, Mark, you said you wanted to continue the discussion that we briefly got into about intelligence. You allege that if somebody does not know the name of the vice president of the United States, presuming they live in the so-called United States, that they are not intelligent. They are stupid, by your definition. Right?
I think that it's an indicator. I think that it shows, the question that we're sort of asking here is, what is intelligence? And I'm not saying that the only indicator of intelligence is knowing who the vice president is, because there's a lot of people who knows who the vice president is that are still idiots. But
oh, yeah.
I think that not being interested and inquisitive about your world, you're not aware of your world, of the world going on around you, if you don't know who the vice president of the United States is. I'm not – there's many people out there. I think I know who my senators are. And at that point, you're getting into the minutia of, politicians.
But isn't it possible that that's not their world at all? I mean, there are people, Mark, whose world, their reality tunnel, for lack of a better term, is totally pop culture, where they could tell you who's on Dancing with the Stars this week and who the cast of Lost is. But they have no idea anything whatsoever about the political realm. I mean, I don't blame people like that. I think politics is despicable.
Look, I'm not saying they're wrong. You're talking about blame. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm saying they're dumb. And it's simply the inability to absorb that information. The vice president has been the vice president for 7 freaking years,
but
dude.
It's not an inability. I think it's just a lack of interest. People are interested in different things, and some people, their
primary
interest...
There may very well be, Ian, there may very well be some small percentage, and that percentage would be a single digit, a small percentage of people who don't know who the vice president is, and the percentage of the population that don't know who the vice president is like 30, supposedly. There may be a percentage of those people, that 30%, who don't know who the vice president is, who aren't stupid. However, I would only say that that's a single-digit number.
I think it's so funny that I've been being accused of being arrogant and condescending on this program, and I think it's quite clear that you're the one being arrogant and condescending.
Look, I have never claimed to be anything but arrogant.
I'm being told here that Albert Einstein didn't know his own phone number, Mark.
Einstein specifically said that he'd attempted not to learn many, many things in order to keep brain space open for thinking. Albert Einstein made a specific, that was something he was doing specifically. Supposedly he couldn't tie his shoes. And I would really like to know for sure if all this stuff about Albert Einstein isn't just urban legend. But anyway, that's what they say, that he was trying to keep brain space clear. Fine, he's making an effort.
Is someone stupid if they don't know who the governor of the state is?
I think that you're getting on the periphery there.
So it's only the president and vice president. Anything outside of vice president, then they're no longer stupid if they don't know it?
I think the president, you're brain dead if you don't know who the president is. And, vice president is sort of, dipstick to figure out whether or not somebody's, just one of those
indicators. Who was John Kerry's running mate in 2004?
Gore. No, Gore was the first. I'm sorry, it was Edwards.
See, I couldn't have answered that question. I didn't know.
Well, there you go.
I mean, I'm sure I heard it back in 2004, but
that's
irrelevant
only minutia.
But it would have been
trivia, as you talked about earlier.
But you would
However, I don't think the vice president is trivia.
You're saying that if that Kerry and Edwards had won, then it would no longer be trivia who John Edwards was?
That's correct.
But I think what you're not seeing here is that while people like you, Mark, consider knowing who the vice president is as an important trait to determine whether or not an individual is intelligent, other people might think that knowing who the three judges on American Idol are is an important trait to determining intelligence.
I would say that there's a case to be made for that. Now, I don't know. I would have a heck of a time identifying them by name. I know one's Paula Abdul.
That's the one I know.
And
Randy Jackson, I think, is another one.
Is that the black guy?
Yeah,
the black guy that's lost weight.
Yeah.
And then there's the mean guy.
Simon Cowell.
Right. So I'm only indicating. I've seen it, but I'm only indicating that that's how unplugged you have to be. And but that's just because you're very unplugged.
But just because you're unplugged does not mean that you are unintelligent. The dictionary definition of intelligence from dictionary.com.
Well, hold on. Before you go on, I will tell you what a good definition, good working definition of intelligence is. It's problem solving ability. You know, if you're given something to solve, say a Rubik's Cube or whatever, the problem solving ability and, you know, without instruction or the, and or the ability to solve problem, or to retain instruction.
Okay. The definition here is capacity for learning, reasoning, understanding, and similar forms of mental activity, aptitude in grasping truths, relationships, facts, meanings, etc. If you live in a world...
And I Googled it myself. There's many different types of intelligence.
Sure,
I heard that Harvard had distinguished 17. I just Googled real quick, came up with 9 types of intelligence, including nature smart, musical smart, logical, mathematical intelligence, existential intelligence,
true. Street smarts,
interpersonal intelligence,
and it
body kinesthetic intelligence.
It all has to do with it's all
word
very
smart,
subjective.
Self smart, picture smart,
based on your perspective, based on what it is that interests you. So if your life, if the primary mode of operation in your life is to go to work, to come home, to put food on the table for your family, to spend a little quality time with them or play some video games or whatever it is that you do at night with yourself or your loved ones, play some board games, and you don't pay attention to the news, you don't watch the news, you don't have a subscription to the newspaper, you don't go on the news websites on the internet, the only way you could come across information like this is by day-to-day conversations. But perhaps you work in a kind of a job where you aren't conversing with people very often. Maybe you're a technician or something like that.
Maybe you live out in the woods and you never come in contact with anyone.
You could be very proficient.
This is an issue of being unplugged. Could I be unplugged from the ability to tie my shoes and still be smart, Ian?
Of course you could.
You've got a very liberal definition of what smart is.
I guess I do. Because I don't see how in any way knowing how to tie your shoes is a factor in whether or not someone is intelligent. That's just something that you learned from your grandma or your mom when you were growing up.
It's problem solving too.
If you don't know how to tie, you probably can't figure out how to tie your shoes.
If you can look at other people's shoes, you know, and then you should say, whoa, they're tying our shoes. That's great. I don't have to flop around and trip on these damn things.
You would have Velcro shoes. If you can't tie your shoes, you have Velcro shoes.
All I'm saying is you're completely unplugged from the world, and to me that's an entire lack of
it's your
being
world,
interested.
Mark. You're unplugged from they're unplugged from your world, not their world. They're completely plugged into their world.
I'm going to stick with the definition that I had previously, which is that 30% of Americans that don't know who the vice president is. The 30% of the Americans that don't know who the vice president is, that they're idiots, except for maybe, you know, some small percentage of them.
Let's go to Milton, listening in Second Life. Milton, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Hi, it's a small correction in terms of words, but it's a giant leap in meaning. The pledge is not against the use of force, but the initiation of force. If you think about it, that's a very, very different thing.
It's a very big thing.
Yeah.
You know, when I think about this initiation of force, and, you know, I almost consider it useless in the sense that from the public mind, because initiation of force is, you know, it's sort of to my mind. I decide whether somebody initiated force against me, therefore I can use, you know, force back. But then you have to take it out a step to everybody else. Everybody else has to judge whether or not you initiated force or didn't initiate force. And that really comes down to storytelling and PR.
Sure, it's a statement of philosophy, but on that level, it's a very significant difference. The Committee for the Libertarian Majority back in the early 90s, tried to take that statement out because they thought so few people could understand it. I was actually active in that effort, but I'm glad we didn't succeed because, you know, with the wisdom of a few more years behind me, I see now that it's, I think, a very worthwhile thing to have.
I like the idea of including initiation of force, but I think that aggression is more descriptive of what it is that we are as liberty-minded people against. Because Mark gave the example a while back about, you know, if you've got somebody who's standing in front of a bus that's approaching, presuming that person would like their life to be saved, you do have to initiate force on them in order to save them by pushing them out of the way, in which case that would be completely appropriate. Whereas,
oh, no, that's stretching the definition of force and using a totally inappropriate definition. We're not talking physics here.
Okay, I always thought force had to do with physical. I mean, because that's what it always comes down to, is somebody threatening your physical body. I thank you for the call tonight, 800-259-9231. You can bring up anything. This is Free Talk Live.
Welcome to the Shack Radio Minute, with thoughts and commentary on spirituality by the author and collaborators of the best-selling book, The Shack. Here's Paul Young, Brad Cummings, and Wayne Jacobson.
One of my favorite comments about the book, The Shack, comes from Tyler, who just graduated from Oregon State. And he says to Amy, my 20-year-old daughter, he says, "Amy, this book is so far beyond your dad."
That didn't bug you?
No. I think he got to the heart of this whole miraculous thing. This is not something... I just wrote a story for my kids. I wrote a gift for them. So many things were unintended. So many things have risen out of that story that I wasn't thinking about. I wasn't thinking about writing a book about the Trinity or about the Holy Spirit or any of these things. And yet, here it comes. And here's God has done something so beautiful and so wonderful, so intricate. It's just a miracle just by itself.
For more information on the New York Times bestselling book, The Shack, please visit theshackbook.com. What if there is a God who really loves you? For those who have ever wondered how God can exist in a world of unspeakable tragedy and sadness, comes a riveting new novel that could change the way you think about God. The Shack. Number one on the New York Times bestseller list for the last 7 weeks, is the most talked about book of the year. It's an uplifting, endearing, unconventional look at a man, his pain, and an unbelievable encounter. The Shack is available wherever books are sold.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at 4 times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
High fuel prices for gasoline and diesel are taking a huge bite out of budgets for individuals and businesses. But there is something you can do. Fuel Saver Incorporated's Fuel Enhancer formula will not only stretch each gallon of fuel further for mere pennies per treated gallon, but also cleans fuel injectors, pumps, and reduces emissions. Average improvement in fuel economy typically ranges from 8 to 20% or more, saving you 30 to 80 cents on each gallon of fuel at the pump. Now there's a boost for your budget. Fuel Saver Incorporated's product is completely safe for your vehicle, gas or diesel. In fact, the product is currently in use in motorcycles, cars, trucks, buses, RVs, boats, ships, and locomotives. Go to FuelSaverInc.com today. That's FuelSaverInc.com. Or call toll-free 866-768-7811. Call now, 866-768-7811. Or go to FuelSaverInc.com. Fuel Saver Fuel Enhancer. Start saving on fuel today.
Did you know that pH balance is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 9 or higher. Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals and elements. This product is a one-of-a-kind in its strength and effectiveness. Using plasma pH drops is one of the best ways to make your water alkaline while helping you get rid of acid and regaining your health and energy. With just 10 drops, you can raise the pH level of the water you drink up to the pH of 10. Alkalizing water helps the body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-344-3420 today.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You can bring up what you want via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features are free, so enjoy them on us. And they include, the archives, an entire year's worth of the show, right there on the front page of the site. You click, you download, they're yours for free at freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live is brought to you by the Free State Project. It's your only choice for more personal freedom and smaller, less intrusive government. To learn more about joining the Second American Revolution, go to freestateproject.org. That's freestateproject.org. As we're going to continue here with your calls, but real quick, the intelligence debate that we've had over the past few minutes on the program continues here. I received a few instant messages, which one of them made an excellent point. Manuel Laura from LouRockwell.com.
Oh, God.
He asks this. Who is smarter, Mark? A genius with autism who can only do math and has no personal or social skills?
Kind of like Rain Man.
Or Ken Jennings, who is the man that won $1 million on Jeopardy?
I'd say that it would depend on what area. I'm not calling either. I wouldn't call either of them idiots.
Well, one of them knows a lot of trivia, and the other one is actually able to do things.
You don't think that knowing trivia is some kind of indicator of intelligence?
I'm sure it's an indicator of that, and I agree with you generally, Mark, that if somebody doesn't know some of the most basic trivia, they're probably shut off from the world, and there's a good chance that they aren't that intelligent, but I don't
all
think
I've
it's exclusive.
All I've ever said.
But no, I don't think it's exclusive.
I've never said it was exclusive.
All right, fine.
Well, my initial statement said that it was exclusive. I then retracted my statement and said that if you don't know who the vice president is, there's a 90% chance you're an idiot.
All right, that's fine. That's fair enough. I'll go with you on that one.
There you go.
It's definitely true that you're ignorant if you don't know who the vice president is.
Well, I mean, you know, everybody's ignorant of something.
Exactly. Let's continue with your calls and go to the AMP line where Alex is in New Jersey. Alex, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's on your mind?
I have a comment and a question. The former being about intelligence. You know, I'm 17, you know, I'm turning 18 soon, and I go through the government school each day, and I look at all the people who are walking around, and a lot of them are, you know, these valedictorian graduate at the top of the class, and I share classes with them,
mm-hmm.
and you could not talk to them about finances or anything, because when it comes to money, they just have no idea what they're talking about, and they wonder how I can spend vast sums of money on a very small income job. And they could be making more than me, and they have no idea what they're doing.
Yes, they have no financial intelligence.
Right, just because, you know, they're so smart. Look, I've got, you know, my finances in line way better than they do, and I've got all these things saved up, and I know how to, you know, balance everything, and, you know, and they just don't know how to do that. So,
yeah, as far as I'm concerned,
I'm better off than they are.
I agree with you. As far as I'm concerned, that's a very important factor, knowing how to deal with money.
And I'd say that the school really falls down in teaching kids that, and, you know, it's really important. It's the most important thing they could be giving them.
Right, right. My question was regarding a draft, because I'm turning 18 soon, and I definitely don't want to register for the draft, because, you know, I listen to Alex Jones occasionally, and, you know, he's always talking about World War III. So I'm not really interested in registering for the draft, but if I don't register, I can't go to college, because the colleges don't want to go to require it. So what would be the best option here?
Really? I was not aware of that. I thought that the consequence was just simply that you couldn't get federal money to go to college. But you're saying the actual college requires you be registered for the draft?
Correct.
Wow, I had no idea about that. What was your question again? I'm sorry.
Well, I'm turning 18 soon, and I'm going to have to make a decision on whether or not I'm going to register. And if I don't register, you know, my parents are going to be all mad at me, and they're going to, like, you know, be very afraid for my well-being, because, you know, I'm going to be on, like, a DOJ list, or I'm not going to be able to get into the college that I want to get into.
Here's my question, though.
On the other hand, I wouldn't have to, yeah.
How do they know that you haven't registered? I mean,
they can check.
I'm of the opinion that that there's not a big government computer in the sky that checks all these things. I just can't.
It would take the college to check. The college would have to check, right?
Right, so I'm going to get a letter in the mail saying, oh, guess what, you can't come to our college because you haven't registered for the draft. Bye-bye.
Right, they'll check with possible they won't check, but odds are they will. I mean, if it seems like it's something that's important to them, they can call up the Selective Service and find out if you've registered. So it wouldn't be hard for them to check. The question is, do they actually check? Here's my question for you before we go on with the conversation, though. Why are you going to college?
Because the field that I want to get into requires chemical engineering.
Oh,
now,
okay.
I have other plans, though, that, you know, I'm not limiting to myself to chemical engineering.
Right.
For example, I could, you know, go to New Hampshire and become a paramedic, which is another love of mine. So in that regard, if college doesn't work out, then I have other plans just in case, which is the paramedic school.
Well, that's good
but,
to know.
I do realize that a lot of kids, they get the master's in liberal arts and they're flipping burgers at McDonald's. And I understand why I want to get into a field that I'm going to actually use the
degree,
you know?
I guess what you could do here is just try to apply and see if they check you. I mean, there's a chance that they won't check, right?
Right.
That would be probably the best way to do it, because then you could possibly get into the college and not be registered for the Selective Service.
What's the disadvantage for registering for the Selective Service?
The disadvantage?
Yes. What bad thing is
for
going to happen?
For not registering.
Right. You
the
want to not register.
For not registering is that if the college doesn't accept me and that...
Excuse me.
That
what is the disadvantage for registering?
Afraid of the...
What's the disadvantage to registering? What bad thing is going to happen?
Disadvantage to registering.
Correct.
I don't know, because if you don't register, because to me it seems like when I register, I'm making a contract between myself and the government, and because I believe in contracts, then that would be something, you know, I don't want to be the type of person who signs a contract.
Right on the bottom of it, under duress, I have not,
that's a good idea.
I have not, I'm not, by signing this, I am only saying that the information on it is true and valid. I am not saying that I consent to anything, write some gobbledygook.
That could bring you trouble, though. There's a possibility.
Really,
what kind of trouble? If you write all rights reserved on there, then they could, you know, come down on you. Who knows what they could do?
I've never heard of any such thing.
I've never heard of anyone trying to write all rights reserved.
I bet they do it all the time. Are you all the patriot types out there?
Yeah, but there aren't very many 17-year-old patriot types out there.
Yeah, but they have dads.
That's true. I don't. this is a tough situation. Because what would happen if you just didn't register with the Selective
Service? What has happened to you for registering? What has happened to me?
No one's done any. Nothing's been done because
nothing
the draft hasn't
to
come back. Well, that is a system they use to draft people with.
Look, so what? I mean, the draft's going to come back. You don't go.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that's true. You could always register, try the all rights reserved thing, and then just not go if they try to call you up.
The fact that I registered for Selective Service does not make me responsible for going, for going for their little draft. The fact is, the government
seems to me like it's a contract, and I'm entering.
Are you telling me that I contracted when I was 17 years old, and that they could come and draft me now, 20 years later? Would that be valid?
Did you know all the terms of the contract?
All I knew was coercion.
Right. That's the reason why I signed mine, was because I was 17 at the time, and I was scared because they threaten you right on there with like 5 years in federal prison or something like that and a $500,000 fine, and I was scared of that. So that's why I signed the damn card. It wasn't because I agreed to the terms or anything like that, which is why I think Mark's right when you should maybe try the under duress thing. I'd take a deep breath,
sign the thing. You know, it's okay. You're not signing your life away by doing it. Everybody, just about everybody out there who's over the age of 18 has signed this thing and didn't write under duress, and if you write under duress, the bureaucrats could ignore it and who fills it out.
That's probably the case. Let us know what you decide and how it works out for you, okay?
Excellent. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Alex, for the call. Appreciate the question. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, and this is Free Talk Live.
Imagine walking down the street and hearing footsteps behind you. They get closer and closer, and suddenly you have a sense something bad is going to happen. What are you going to do to defend yourself? Tebow Tech specializes in non-lethal self-defense products for you and your family. With everything from stun guns and tasers to personal alarms and pepper spray, Tebow Tech will arm you with the most advanced non-lethal products anywhere on the net. Not sure where to start? The Tebow Tech Essentials Package is great for you or to share with your family. It comes with a 950,000-volt cell phone stun gun, a multi-pack of pepper sprays, an extremely loud personal alarm, and a how-to book for defending yourself with pepper spray, all at a low price. With these or any of Tebow Tech's products, you have the tools to defend yourself against an attack and get yourself to safety. Don't be a victim. Be a victor. Stock up now. TebowTech.com. That's TebowTech.com.
Are you fed up with all the side effects of chemicals in your shampoos and detergents? Even fragrances can signal some 4,000 separate ingredients. most of which are synthetic. Hi, folks. Alex Jones here. Why not go back to basics and be safe with Calvin Pure Soaps? They're all natural, and you'll save some 85% the money you're spending for your cleaning products now. Marty Schachter founded Calvin Soap Company in 1947 and provided products for health institutions. Now, Calvin Soaps are available to you and me. Triple concentrated for all your cleaning needs, from bathing and laundry to dishes, hair, and more. No harsh chemicals. No animal testing. I use them and love them, knowing they're all natural and safe, and I save big time. Call Calvin Pure Soap at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Or log on to 5starsoap.com now for a free catalog. Again, that number, 1-800-340-7091 or 5starsoap.com for all your cleaning needs.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, trucks stop running and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
Fact. Rapid industrialization has resulted in environmental pollution, and its curse on world health is staggering. We live in a toxic world that is bombarded by 7 new chemicals each day. The human body is amazing and efficient in design, but because of the polluted world in which we live, is unable to remove all toxins. The solution. Detoxification integrated with Electro Qi Premier Energy Foot Spa. The Electro Qi Premier Energy Foot Spa helps to aid in cleansing the body of harmful toxins while energizing and oxygenating your entire body at the cellular level. Detoxification works with the Electro Qi Premier Energy Foot Spa because it addresses the needs of individual cells, the building blocks of human life. For mental clarity, restored vitality, a stronger immune system, clear skin, and health in every aspect of your being, order your Electro Qi Premier Energy Foot Spa by visiting NutraMedical.com or call Dr. William Deagle at 888-212-8871, 888-212-8871.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show, and you can bring up what you want if you dial in toll-free to 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We've got a wiki with over 1,700 pages created by listeners like you. You can go to wiki.freetalklive.com and get interactive for free. That's wiki, wiki.freetalklive.com.
I don't know about you, but I've pretty much every time I've tried a diet, I've failed at it. I get too hungry, and then I make it for a day and a half or something like that, and I just start eating more than I even was before I was on the diet. So I failed at it, but recently I've been trying a product called Dex-C20, and it's been working for me. It's both an appetite suppressant and a fat blocker. You can try it too. Just go to Walgreens or CVS or, you know, one of those drugstores. It's Dex-C20. It's in a gold box. Or you can go to diet.freetalklive.com and check it out there.
We continue here with your calls about what you want. It's Paul in California on the Amp Line. Hello, Paul.
Hey there.
Hey, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Well, I just want to share with you, last night I went to see a film called IOUSA, and it purported to be this big expose about the federal debt. Well, I've known a few things about the federal debt, but I was hoping that they would tell a little bit of the truth. They actually had Ron Paul interviewed as part of the film, but it was disappointing in that they sidestepped most of the really important things. In fact, they even presented the Federal Reserve as being, well, the Federal Reserve was created to help smooth out the economy, and I'm sitting there practically throwing tomatoes at the screen, right? And then afterwards, there was a live symposium. Apparently, this was live from somewhere in the Midwest with Warren Buffett And this guy Peterson has got this new foundation, and there's this guy who was a former head of the General Accounting Office who is now going around the country with another guy from the American, I can't remember what the name of it was, the Concord Foundation or something like that, you know, talking about how we got to do something about this federal debt, you know. And there was a whole full house full of people in this theater. And, you know, the disappointment was that, you know, after they told us how bad things are, what's their solution? Well, we just have to lobby our people in Congress to pass legislation, you know. And I'm going, oh, man, you guys, I can't believe how lame. You know,
well, I think that I think that there's, it's a net benefit in that, you know, it just telling people about the debt and talking to them about it and bringing it up makes people realize that just what a really terrible job they're doing in Washington, D.C. And then, you know, when their solution is to try to get the people who've been doing a bad job to do a good job, they realize that most people realize, well, that's the dumbest solution I've ever heard. And I
hopefully.
So I think that they hear a net benefit. It's a net benefit. It's just that a new solution has to be presented to them. And, you know, it's difficult to find good solutions to this particular problem.
Well, people need to make this quantum leap from having faith in government and in this idea that government is an absolute necessity. It's like, you know, this saying that says nothing is certain in taxes. Well, you know, I mean, we've got to get rid of this religion of government. And as long as people have this religious faith that we always need to have somebody in charge, we're never going to solve these problems.
Yep, and wherever they look to, the solution is always more government or changing the chairs around in government, bringing new people into government. Government is always pointed to as the solution, which is what you're saying this particular movie suggested to its audiences the solution was. And, well, what did you expect, right? I mean, it's a Hollywood
film. Yeah, and they were even talking about passing a new law that forces people to save. They say, oh, yeah, this is being done in some South American country, and it's working out really well. Right, so point a gun at somebody and say, you've got to put 3% of your income in a savings account, or we'll put you in a cave. That's a really great way to...
Well,
you know, manage the economy.
I think it's superior to the Social Security system that we currently have. However, I would call it a step away from liberty, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Good call, sir. Anything else on your mind tonight?
No, I just want to wish you guys, just, I mean, you really are one of the few voices in the country for actually telling the truth that we have to get rid of these guys that are rulers who are pretending to be our servants.
Yes, get rid of them and replace them with nothing. Thank you, Paul, for the call tonight. Appreciate it. 800-259-9231.
I wouldn't propose that that is my solution.
Yes, you have proposed it. You said you don't support secession. You don't support the federal government. So you do agree that we should get rid of the federal government and replace them with nothing.
Well, I agree from that point of view. I mean,
okay.
I think that I want my state to secede and the rest of those states, you know, good luck to you and everything. But I'd like to get off this particular boat.
Here's a little bit on that same film from LouRockwell.com. Charles Burris writes, IO USA, the highly touted Fright documentary on America's skyrocketing national debt, sponsored by the Peter G. Peterson Foundation, premiered in 400 theaters across the nation Thursday night. This banal film was actually painful to watch, much worse than I previously anticipated. Producer Sam Goldwyn's classic quip on message movies applies. If you want to send a message, call Western Union. IO USA told the story of hapless but determined Don Quixote, former U.S. Comptroller General David Walker, and his nerdy but earnest sidekick Sancho Panza from the nonpartisan Concord Coalition. This not-so-dynamic duo had been thanklessly traveling the back roads of America, tilting at monstrous windmills of fiscal irresponsibility and mounting national debt in the midst of clueless Rotarians and other simple folk of the heartland. Lots of flashy graphics, smoke and mirrors, and prestidigitation with U.S. Treasury figures did not add any luster or substance to this fiasco. The only saving grace of the movie was the brief cameo appearance by Ron Paul verbally de-pantsing Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan at a congressional hearing. After the conclusion of the film, the premiere's rather schizophrenic benediction was staged by panelists Walker, Peterson, billionaire investor Warren Buffett, Chairman William Nisakin of the pro-Fed Cato Institute, and some hack from the AARP. In their best Ah Shucks Folks cornpone delivery, they told their assembled Omaha audience and the multitudes in theaters coast to coast, struggling both to keep awake and their dinners down, that the scary, bad old film really didn't mean it. Everything's really all right with the USA. We've been in tight scrapes before, and we've always pulled through. Americans simply must save more and spend less. We need to tighten our belts and cut out all that nasty partisanship in Congress. I keep waiting for Mickey Rooney, Judy Garland, and the Andrews sisters to rush on stage and break out in a chorus of zippity-doo-dah. Nothing was ever said about our draconian welfare warfare state, its American empire based in 130 countries, and their sinister symbiotic relationship with their enablers, the Federal Reserve, the real source of the problem supposedly addressed in the film. But then, no one ever expected them to, either. So, it's being panned by the Liberty people. Mm. And I guess LouRockwell.com in agreement with our caller, Paul, and you can call in about what you want. So we talked to Paula in Florida. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Paula.
Yeah, hi, guys. You're really right about a lot of this. We need to get rid of the Federal Reserve, too, big time.
There you go. Yeah.
But anyway, there was something that gentleman was talking about, his signing up for the military. He can be a conscientious objector, and he doesn't have to sign up. And the military or the colleges have been doing this since 1963. And if you flunk out of school, they automatically contact the draft board.
Why would they do that?
I don't know. My husband was a veteran. They did him the same way.
No, I don't think that you can be a conscientious objector at the point of actually signing the draft card. I don't think you can do that.
You can say that you're a conscientious objector and you don't have to sign up at all.
Well, over 3 million names have been referred by the Selective Service System to the Justice Department for possible prosecution for violation by the Military Selective Service Act. 3 million, and they prosecuted 13 since 1980. The chances are higher of getting struck by lightning than there are of actually getting prosecuted for this. However, yeah. What he was concerned with is he didn't want to sign up for on a principled basis. He felt it was wrong, and that he was concerned with, say, the colleges not accepting him and things like that. And I just don't know
right.
the answer as to what
I don't think
also,
that's
Paula, as a young male American, I have actually looked into this. I understand that you may not have done as much research on this particular issue, but it's my understanding. I could be wrong, but it's my understanding that in order to gain this conscientious objector status, the draft has to actually be in place. They have to be attempting to draft you, and then in order to become a conscientious objector, you have to essentially go in front of a draft board and plead. You have to beg in front of them for them to essentially grant you this conscientious objector status, which does not save you from the draft. It essentially will result, if you are granted it, thank you, by the way, for the call, Paula. It will essentially result in you being drafted into a non-combat role. So you could be packing boxes, for instance, instead of actually being on the front lines. So it doesn't save you from slavery one iota. More on the way. This is your show. And again, it's bowing down and begging to them and asking them. I think you'd be better off just trying to avoid showing up in front of the draft board in the first place. It's Free Talk Live.
As many of you know, I put on a little extra weight with the baby. Not much, 10 or 15 pounds, but my pants don't fit right anymore. Some of them are darn hard to button. Now, I'm not a real good dieter. I cut back for a day or two, and then I break down and end up binging. My exercise schedule has been pretty lax, too. So I needed another solution. Well, I heard about a product called Dex-C20. I contacted them. I've been taking the product for about 10 days now, and I've lost 2 pounds. Now, that may not seem like a whole bunch, but I haven't done anything else. No dieting and no exercise outside of my normal activity. Most weight loss supplements make me mean and crazy. I can't take them. I'm too sensitive to the stimulants. Not Dex-C20. It's all natural and has none of the stimulants. You can find it at most major drugstores like Walgreens, CVS, or GNC. Go and pick up a bottle of Dex-C20 in the gold box today and start losing weight the easy way. Dex-C20.
Go to hempusa.org, go to hempusa.org, and ask your legislator, and ask your congressman, and ask your president, why can't we grow it here? And ask those companies that love their profits and disease, why can't we grow it here? Try our powder, seeds, and oil. Try our 5-pound sampler. And get free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org. Go to hempusa.org. And call
us at 908-691-2608. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a six-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It'll prevent future problems and help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when taking Heart and Body Extract. Here is what one customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list a possible side effect. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2 months supply of Heart and Body Extra today. Call 1-866-295-5305. That's 1-866-295-5305. Or go to hbextract.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want if you dial in toll-free at 1-800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. And it's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
Join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features are free. If you like the show and you want to help support Free Talk Live, you can become an amplifier by going to amp.freetalklive.com. For as little as $3 a month, you can help Free Talk Live get on more radio stations and bring more internet listeners to the message of freedom and liberty. It's a great little program. That money allows us to be, it allows us to reinvest into the show and spread this program as far as we can. Plus, you get perks like access to the AMP-only call-in lines, chat room, forum, and more. All the details are there at amp.freetalklive.com. So we continue with your calls about whatever you want. It's Brent in Missouri. Brent, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Brent. Brent in Missouri going once. Brent, here's number somebody. Somebody's phone is open. Let's put him back on hold and try Frank in California instead. Frank, you're on Free Talk Live. Frank, maybe we got him backwards.
What's happening here?
I don't know. It is a calamity. Frank is gone. We're going to try Brent one more time, and we'll move on. Brent, are you there, sir?
I am here.
Excellent. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I just wanted to, rake Mark over the coals for his nonsense with intellectual property. Seems like a few people have been doing recently, but I think he's lacking in creativity. I think that the vibe I get, and Mark, you can obviously correct me if I'm incorrect here.
Oh, I will.
But the vibe I get is that it's not necessarily that you believe or disbelieve in intellectual property as much as you're just worried that no innovation will happen without intellectual property. Is that true, or?
I think that when I stated to Mr. Kinsella last night that essentially I need to prove in my mind that the status quo is wrong. I kind of look at it from a perpetual motion standpoint.
But the status quo is wrong because it's violence. It's monopoly privilege. And
I will use violence to protect my property.
Yeah, but it's not your property.
If you want to look at it from, if it's the morals of it that have you worried, I mean, you understand that protection of intellectual property requires you to own part of me. Like, part of what makes up a great deal of who I am, of Brent, is the things I know, the music I've heard, the stories I've read, the techniques I've learned in different trades, and all of this stuff that could be considered somebody else's intellectual property, that makes me me. Like, if I'd grown up in a white box until this age, I would not be the same person. Does that make sense? And when
do you think it's morally wrong? Do you think it's morally wrong for me to create a soft drink that's brown and bubbly, call it Coca-Cola, and sell it to people, be those people retailers or customers on a retail level? Do you think it's wrong for me to do that?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Well, I do.
Well, I think somebody could make the argument that that's fraud, that if you're pretending like you're Coca-Cola, then that's one thing. But if you call it Coca-Cola-ito, then that would be okay, right?
And I guess to some extent you could make a fraud argument if you were actually trying to say that this is coming from a plant somewhere that it isn't. You know, maybe your plant's not as clean as Coca-Cola's or whatever. You know, that potentially could be considered fraud, but... just the act of taking information that you've gained, no matter how you gained it, unless you've broken into Coca-Cola and, you know, broken into space and taken out their recipes, it isn't wrong. It's part of you. The things you know are what make you Mark.
Okay.
I
don't have a problem with somebody trying to create a soft drink that they call, Sparkle Cola, and they actually use some reverse engineered formula of Coca-Cola. I don't have a problem with that. But,
okay. What about with drugs? Do you have a problem with it in drugs then?
You know, with drugs, you're getting into an area where research and development is significantly, larger.
But did you listen to what Stephen Kinsella said last night? He said,
did you listen to what I said? That as far as,
can we pop Brent down a little bit?
He's
making a lot of car noise there.
All I said on that is I think that the marketplace would likely figure something out. On that, if there were no government entity. But in this case, we are dealing with a government entity, and I don't think that the first place to start is intellectual property.
So you're just saying put that one on the back burner. You don't want to argue about it right now because you've lost.
I think it's minutia that just doesn't matter.
It's not minutia when it comes down to the fact that we as consumers do not have as much to choose from in the marketplace because there's this gang out there preventing businesses from really competing.
Maybe that's true. Maybe it's not.
Yeah, I don't think it's minutia at all. Brent?
No. Maybe with your statement is true. Maybe it's not.
That intellectual property, along with the drug war, you two don't seem to be too afraid of it, but a lot of libertarians are reluctant to discuss the drug war from a freedom standpoint, but for the coming generation of voters, you know, folks my age, I'm in my mid-20s, we don't have a whole lot of respect for intellectual property as a group. It's just the nature of things.
I think that's true.
Partially because it's so easy to download music, to get movies for free, any of that.
I think that's true.
If you want to find the formula for how to make Viagra, I bet you can find it somewhere on the Internet if you want.
You might very well be able to. I don't know. Before you go on, I think that it's true, and I think that that is a that your generation, and honestly, I don't feel much as far as downloading music, that's been shared on the Internet. I don't feel anything about that either. I think that, but that is a problem. That is a function of the over-legislation in intellectual property. Not to say that intellectual property should be tossed out entirely. I think that the free market, I think that people in general believe in intellectual property. Do you think that it's wrong to say to take the Declaration of Independence, put your name at the bottom, and turn it in as part of your homework in your American literature class?
I think that you'll likely just get laughed at by your teacher or flunked. But as far as morals, I don't see why.
That was a pretty bad example.
Plagiarism is a violation of intellectual property.
For instance, I'm actually right now I'm on the road. I'm directing to a performance of a choir piece that I wrote because I write music. That's how I make money.
Sweet.
And I write my music on commission. That is, any piece that I've previously written, I give away for free and download it off my website. I don't charge a penny for it.
It's all
in PDF, and everything else. I make my money off of new pieces. Those pieces that I've already written are advertisement, as far as I'm concerned. The more people that download them for free, the better, because that's more chance that somebody will want me to write a piece for their girlfriend, or want me to, this one in particular is a piece I wrote for a church's anniversary, like the 150th anniversary celebration, specifically relating to that church and so on and so forth. And I just think, and you know, and that's how I managed to make money in, frankly, a completely, I don't think of it as intellectual property, but a completely amorphous trade. You know, I don't produce anything hard. It's all, mm-hmm. It's all software. I don't even produce hard copies of music anymore. It's just not worth the money. I can just send PDFs. But
now, if the people that supported intellectual property had their way, and you were one of those people, which you aren't, obviously, but if you were one of those people in support of intellectual property laws, your point that you made earlier about how that would mean that you would be able to control my property comes into play, that if I have a church, for instance, and I want to download your church song and use it in my church without telling you about it, but one of my constituents or parishioners or whatever is aware of your original property and he snitches me out to you, then that would mean that the government people would come in and they would physically stop me from utilizing my sound system in my church to reproduce certain, ones and zeros in the form of music on the speakers in my church. And that you prevent me from using my property in the way that I deem appropriate. And that's what this whole thing is all about, this intellectual property protection.
To me, the morals of it are kind of irrelevant, I think, at this point. Like, right or wrong, the way I think of it is you can't beat the market. Mark, I'm sorry, but at this point, it doesn't look like the market is demanding intellectual property. It looks very much the other direction.
No. The fact that teenagers and college students and you know, people of all ages, really, are downloading music on the Internet doesn't mean that IP in total is destroyed. The fact is, the people that are pushing these laws have pushed them beyond the measure of practicality and what is right, honestly. And
you want to get them to shape up and bring those laws back down to where Mark thinks they should be, right?
Yeah, you realize, hopefully, Mark, that that's a completely futile endeavor to make
just
the government
the right
do what
people.
You think it should.
That's right. Just elect the. You just have to elect good people to government, Brent. That's all. Just have to bring good people in.
Of course.
Oh, wait. That's never worked.
But I kind of wanted to address just a couple of ideas, particularly with drugs. I was contemplating this because I was listening to a podcast I guess, maybe yesterday or the day before, and you all were, you know, Mark being very worried about drugs. So
all right, let's talk about it. Hang on. More with Brent if his cell phone stays through the news here, and your calls as well. Patrick's on the line. We'll hear from him, and ladies come first. If you dial in toll-free at 1-800-259-9231, then what's it take to get suspended as a fourth grader? Coming up.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
It's no secret that Genesis Communications Network depends on listeners like you. Now you can do even more to hear Genesis shows in your area. Simply call your local radio stations and tell them about your favorite GCN programs. It's easy. Log on to GCNlive.com or call us toll free, 877-807-4048. Make a difference. Call your local stations and contact us through affiliate relations at GCNlive.com or call 877-807-4048. Call today.